From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Mitch Pacwa. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Wednesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you'd like to be part of the program, we'd love to have you. The number's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams. Pedro Quiles producing the program. Your call screener is... Yeah. He's got the folder. Let's go with,
You want that?
Yeah, give me that. Yeah, that doesn't help me. We have a call screener and we have a social media maven, and I'll find out who those are as we come along here. And our host, as he is every Wednesday, Father Mitch Pacwa, and those of our viewers/listeners that are watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live probably think you look like a science project over here.
I am a science project. They experiment on us old people.
Oh, okay. Well, there you have it. So you're on the mend and
went to
great lengths to get here, and we appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Do you have some emails over there?
I have some emails. This one is from Mary in Dayton, Ohio. Listens to our Cincinnati station. Was listening to your program July 2nd, 2023. 2023? It must have been 25, because I heard a young man voice his concerns about celibate clergy. That was this month, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, this year. This discussion reminded me of a friend of mine who was very active over 20 years in four different Protestant churches, Baptist, Church of God, Assembly of God, and Nazarene, including administrative assistant, secretary, treasurer, volunteer, etc. She was a staunch advocate for celibate clergy. She told me once, more than once, that Catholic Church is correct to have celibate clergy. The longer she worked in the parish offices with the different pastors, plus interacting with their families, the more she was convinced that the celibate clergy is the best model. The ministers in the churches she attended were expected to put the needs of the church congregation 24/7 before their own family needs, which led to a lot of strife with their wives and children. I do know of several Catholic priests who left the priesthood, who went through the process to leave in good standing with the church and subsequently married and had families. They are faithful priests and continue to be involved in the church along with their wives and children. They are older, retired now, and wonder if these individuals could be considered to be reinstated to the priesthood as parochial vicars. Thank you for your priestly vocation, everything you do for the faithful. God bless. Thank you, Mary. Another strong advocate I met for celibate clergy was the wife of an Episcopal priest who became a Catholic out in San Diego. He used to be on the radio, too, a lot years ago. And she was adamant that a celibate clergy is better. And it's exactly for the reasons you put. That trying to keep the right balance between caring for your family and your church is has some extra challenges for clergy for this reason. I mean, every working parent has those struggles. That's reality. You know, my dad had to work oftentimes two jobs, and seeing him was a rare treat, and making sure that we didn't wake him when he had to get his sleep would be the case of a not so rare discipline. But be that as it may, we just didn't see him much. So that's a struggle for everybody. But with clergy, there's an extra issue. You have parish duties, and you're off with many of them. Your children and your spouse cannot be anywhere close. Example of a friend of mine, let his wife had a girls' night out with her friends. He was at home with the kids, got a sick call for a dying person in the hospital. He couldn't leave his toddlers by themselves, and he couldn't bring the toddlers to the hospital. They just couldn't go in. This is a tough situation, and it happens often enough. So plus, as I think I mentioned the other day, most children who go to school have the weekend free for time with their dad and mom. Pastors work weddings on Saturday and services on Sunday. You know, when is he going to see his kids? You know, that, I mean, these are just problems. And as I've said before, you don't, by having a married clergy, you would not get rid of your problems in the church. You would change what the problems mm-hmm. are. And that's right. Just reality.
So, Father Mitch, yes. Today, July 23rd,
yes.
would have been the 92nd birthday of Father Benedict Rochelle.
Yes.
One of the founders of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal.
Yeah.
Great friend of the network, great theologian, clinical psychologist,
yes.
On top of everything
else.
Good
friend of mine, too.
Yeah, and just a master theologian, master communicator, really knew how to...
And don't forget, a consummate wise guy from New Jersey.
That's exactly right. But your reflections a little bit on your relationship with Father Benedict. He was the thing that always struck me, and it always came out in the end. You didn't maybe notice it when you were interacting with him, but it always came out in the end. This is one of the most self-giving, selfless people that I've ever run across.
Yeah, yeah. As I already said, he was a consummate New Jersey wise guy. And we hit it off because I'm as consummate a Chicago wise guy as there is in God's green earth. So but there was a practicality that permeated his spiritual life, you know, and he was a really holy, a man who loved our Lord and our Lady. Oh, that was without a doubt. But he also had a real down-to-earth quality. At the time, this guy walked up and tried to mug him. And the guy says, I'm a friar. I don't have any money. Oh, Father, I got you mistaken with somebody else. I'll go to the next customer. You know, and it was... dealing with, and he loved the people of the Bronx where he was working, you know, because he said, you know, they may not have money, but they come to church better dressed than most upper class people because they take God so seriously. And he would just look to core of way people were. And his psychology, he and I collaborated on some research on the Course in Miracles, which was this New Age program that was all over the place.
That's rearing its ugly head again, by the way.
And he was a colleague of the woman that wrote it. Mm. And it was, again, fun talking to him because it was very practical kind of things. I told him this, she wrote in the book, love and self-sacrifice are incompatible. I said to him, now, I immediately considered her a woman who never had a kid. because no mother could say that love and self-sacrifice are incompatible. They go hand in glove. And he said, no, you're right. Exactly. She had no comprehension of that kind of thing. But anyway, we could talk about, Helen Schuchman. Yeah. But he knew Helen Schuchman. And warned her against this because he knew that he also had a sensitivity to the presence of the evil one because he was so alert to the presence of Jesus Christ. And this was a blessing from the first time I met him and took him out to eat at a Middle Eastern restaurant.
God bless you. Father Benedict Rochelle, pray for us. 833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Got a great new offering for you from EWTN Publishing, I Will Come to You, A Story of Adoption and the Relentless Love of God by Jamie McAleer. You can journey with Jamie through her experience of understanding adoption and then her personal journey to Russia to find and bring home the son that God had chosen for her. I Will Come to You, A Story of Adoption and Relentless Love of God by Jamie McAleer, available now at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Couple of open phone lines at 833-288-3986. Pedro, I'm not quite sure what's going on with line two. I'm going to put line two on hold. And we're going to go to Paul, who is in Saginaw, Michigan. He is listening on Ave Maria Radio. Paul, you're on with Father Mitch.
Yeah, Father, quick question for you.
Sure.
In Revelation 6:6, it says, hurt not the wine nor the oil.
Yes.
And in Luke 10, verse 34, it says, the good Samaritan poured wine and oil into his wounds.
Uh-huh.
So is that the meaning of Revelation 6:6, or is there another meaning to Revelation 6:6?
That is nothing to do with Revelation 6:6. Okay, that's totally different. The keep in mind, wine was used on wounds because it has alcohol in it to help clean them out. And that was as close to disinfectant as they could get. While oil, you know how when you have a wound and it starts to scab and get hard? The oil was an emollient to soften that tissue in order to, so that, you know, any hardening flesh wouldn't itch so much and you might scratch it, and it would be a way of helping to heal. So that's what they were for, and that's what Luke is using. But oil and wine were also staple parts of the diet. Have you ever gone to any Middle Eastern restaurants?
Yes.
Yeah, you have plenty down in, you know, Detroit area, and west of Detroit, and probably, I don't know how close to Saginaw, but, you know, one of the very standard dishes, usually when you start off, you get mezza, which are different appetizers, you know, sort of soft salads. You know, like you get hummus and baba ganoush and all that stuff, right?
I love hummus.
You know, good for you. I hope, you know, don't buy that junk in the grocery stores. That's terrible.
I don't like being in the same room with a chickpea.
I love it. if you have a good restaurant, they put olive oil on your table, you put that on there. It was just a very important part of every meal. And wine was drunk because the water was risky. In Rome, where they had aqueducts, it wasn't so bad. But in most places, water was risky. And even in Rome, especially in the summertime, it could be risky. So they drink wine. And what's they're talking about here, a denarius for a quart of wheat is extraordinarily high price. This would be like saying for us, $20 per loaf of bread. You know, if you had to pay $20 for a loaf of bread, you're not going to buy. Remember just 2 years or so ago how high eggs and other foods were getting. That's what he's talking about here, that this kind of it's not about price gouging, but there will be a blight on the grains. But see, the wine and the oil are only useful if you eat them with bread. You dip your bread in the oil and the wine. You eat them together. If you don't have bread to go with your oil, it'll cause some digestive problems. The oil will, that is. So this is something that's what's going on there. That this is a stages of the desolations that people will experience at the end of the world, and famine will be one of them. Does that help?
Oh yeah. Is the oil only olive oil or other oil?
Pretty much. You could get sesame oil because they did use sesame quite a bit. If you go to Middle Eastern grocery stores, you still get tahini. And when you get tahini, you always have some sesame oil on top. And we sell sesame oil for cooking. I matter of fact, I like to cook my venison in sesame oil with a little bit of sliced ginger. It's very nice.
It's one of the differences between the hummus at the grocery store that you were poo-pooing and yes. The hummus at a good Middle Eastern restaurant will have some olive oil on top of it usually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even with olive oil, most of that junk in the store, I can't eat it.
God bless you, Paul. Thanks so much for the phone call today. Still some open lines for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Charles is in Atlanta, listening on our great affiliate there, The Quest. Charles, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hi, your Reverend.
How y'all doing?
Great, thank you. I just had a question for you regarding confession. I came into the church 22 years ago this Easter, and the deacon who brought me into the church said, if you ever go to confession and you feel like it's not the best experience of your life, I'll go and buy you a steak dinner. Well, I think he owes me a steak dinner.
Uh-oh.
And I was calling to find out, what do I do when I've gone to confession and the priest says no? He says, I do not absolve you. Our Lord didn't really speak of any appeals process. I don't know, do I need to go to the bishop? I mean, I don't want to be one of those Catholics who just goes to whatever priest who's going to tell him what he wants to hear. But
Right. I don't want to know the sin involved, but did he say why he refused absolution?
Yes, it was that he needed me. He said, in order to show that I was truly sorry, I'd have to do a certain thing, basically give up my computer. And I'm not able to do that because of my work and other obligations.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Here's a couple things. The computer is most likely what we would call a near occasion of sin because of the access. I think, but at the same time, it's a tool. It'd be like Shakespeare being forbidden to have a, a quill and some ink. You know, we have to have that available. It's a tool that we can use for the good. What I would look at something else, and Father just may not have understood some of the possibilities, but there are ways to put all kinds of safeguards on a computer, right? Charles?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you can get safeguards on a computer. And what I would recommend to you is a couple things. Ask a friend to put the safeguard on it for you so that you don't know the code to break it, you know, get break through that. And I would, you know, either go to the priest, but again, he may not understand the nature of the computer issue, you know, because a lot of us aren't familiar with these things. I think this would be a legitimate situation to go to a different priest, not just to hear what you want, but to say, you know, Father, this is what I'm doing. These are the safeguards I am taking to prevent any of the problems I've had in the past. I repent of this and want to make sure I don't, you know, do whatever it is. That would be the thing that I would think is very legitimate. Does that make sense, Charles?
It does. Yeah, but, I just don't want to be, like I said, one of those Catholics who just goes to another.
No. I don't think that's what's going on here. But you do, what he's saying is important, that you have to do everything you possibly can to prevent the source of some temptation getting into your life, for sure. And getting, so, you know, finding out with a friend that you know and trust, what are the best safeguards and, you know, for protection of the computer, and you not even know what the code is. And then what I would also do, you know, for your wallpaper, get blessed, soon to be Saint Acutus, and have him, a picture of him as your wallpaper on your computer to remind you that your computer is for a mission to God. How would that be?
That would be great. That's a wonderful idea.
And as a matter of fact, you can even make a, you know, what do you call it when this picture keeps changing everything?
Screensaver.
Make a clean a screensaver. Collect a whole bunch of images of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and have Acutus as your wallpaper, and the Blessed Mother as your screensaver. My screensaver is pictures of the animals I harvest. What I'm suggesting to you is far more holy. Though I put holes in all those critters. Yeah. But that's another issue. So how does that sound, Charles?
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. I'm gonna do
all
it now.
Right.
God bless you, Charles. We appreciate the phone call today. That opens up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Wide open phone lines for you. It's EWTN's Open Line Wednesday with Father Mitch Pacwa.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It's an absolutely free telephone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. Up next is Joanne in Naples, Maine, listening at EWTN.com. Joanne, I didn't know there was a Naples, Maine.
Well, yes, there is, small as it is.
Are there a lot of canals?
No, actually, Father Mitch, but there's a Norway, Maine, there's a Sweden, a Norway, a Mexico. They just don't get out much here, so they have to kind of name the towns after places they'd like to go, I guess. Well, but I couldn't pass up calling you today. I wanted to remind you of a wonderful retreat you gave us in Bangor, Maine, in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
That was wonderful, and
I
remember
that.
Father Tim Nado. Had given you a rosary that was made from fishing lure with retractable.
Yeah, absolutely cool. Absolutely,
and it was like cool. You had won the lottery. I mean,
yeah.
It was so easy to get it. I
still think it's cool.
Well, I know, and you and he have so much in common, but I haven't seen him in a number of years. But the other thing, the last time I saw you, which was at the family celebration in Worcester, commonly called Worcester by the locals, I've acquired a lot of your books. I love the Holy Land Coffee Table book. That's my absolute favorite. But I'm also going to be purchasing the Isaiah book because you're helping me. Every Lent, every Advent, I keep telling myself I'm going to start the Isaiah chapters and get... But so now you're keeping me accountable, and the fact that it's on demand is terrific because, you not only... explain it carefully, but you weave in the culture and the historical background. I mean, it's very much like your style of homily. You always put things right in the moment that you kind of understand not only the gospel message, but what was happening at the time.
Yeah.
And lastly, mm-hmm. I don't want to miss my opportunity to wish you an early happy birthday.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, I'll be 76 this week.
Well, lucky you, on Friday, I'll be 75. So you're only 363 days
ahead of you.
Older than me.
I know. It's fun getting old, isn't it? A few aches and pains. But one of the things I like about getting older is that I can start, I have been starting to yell, "Hey, you kids, get off my lawn." Be the cranky old guy in the neighborhood. It's fun.
You might remember many years ago, I sent you a Warner Brothers card, and you know all the characters from
yes.
the Warner Brothers. This guy was the saloon guy, the cowboy with the big gun.
Yosemite Sam?
Yes, exactly right. And the card said, "You're not getting older, you're just all grown up."
Well, thank you for those comments, Joanne. And, one of the reasons I do what I do on that Isaiah series that we're doing on Tuesdays is, first, as a basic principle, we share a common human nature with these ancient people. And the wisdom that they learned and the revelation that they received was very relevant. However, it takes us some time to understand their words and reactions in the context of their culture so I can better understand how I can apply this to my life in this present culture. I can only by seeing how they lived and thought can I make the connection to what we're doing. The second reason, especially with this Isaiah book, so many people are things, well, these were all made up or something. No, they were in real historical circumstances. And to let people know that those actual historical circumstances affected the way God revealed himself to Israel And we can learn from that too and trust that this is great revelation. Well, have you a good birthday yourself. Enjoy being 75.
The feast of St. Christopher and St. James, even though he got demoted, he's still at the top of my list.
There you go.
You know what they say, Joanne, the first 78 are the hardest, so you're almost there.
Says the guy in his 60s, 50s, whatever these kids.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Next up is Diane in your sweet home, Chicago, Father Mitch, listening at EWTN.com. Diane, you're on with your fellow Chicagoan, Father Mitch Pacwa.
Hello, how you doing?
Better for talking to you. What can we do for you?
I was asking, I'm going to say one thing. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And I'm older than both of y'all. I was older than the lady who was gone. I'm holding you because I'm 78.
Oh, yeah, you are. Well, God bless. But do you agree with me that it's fun getting older? Apart from the aches and pains.
Yeah, well, I'm halfway. I mean, my sight is leaving me because I have a coma. So it's okay. Lord, let me have sight still, so I'm okay.
Oh, God bless you.
I was wanting to know more about the novena prayer.
Uh-huh.
Prayer.
Yeah.
I get confused on that one.
In what way?
Because on one of the morning shows, they have a novena prayer from last Wednesday, but the war to stop in Middle East.
Yes.
So do I have to put it, the Lord in that prayer, or Blessed Mary in that prayer, or just leave it with novena prayer? I'm confused.
Okay. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what they're doing exactly, to be honest with you. Yeah. Novena usually signifies nine
days
of prayer, but that could be nine consecutive Wednesdays. You know, it could be 9 days in a row.
Yeah.
Some people will do 9 weeks in a row, a 54-day novena. So there's different ways to look at it. None of them are right or wrong, right?
No. It's fine. And, in praying for an end to the war in the Middle East and the kind of killing that has been going on. And then we saw just a week or so ago that I kind of missed it because I was in the hospital at the time. But there was an attack on a Catholic church in the West Bank. People are just suffering. And so praying that novena, you can say the prayer that they say, and it's oftentimes, it's not necessary, but you can also add a Hail Mary and an Our Father to it and a Glory Be. That would be optional. I haven't seen their particular prayer either. But that's usually the time I'm just saying my office. But that would be, there's a certain amount of freedom to that. I think that just going along with the prayers that they say, and as they say, you just sort of pray along with them. You may not be able to, if you're having trouble with your sight, may not be able to see the words, but you can repeat it right after they do, and unite the intentions of your heart to that prayer. That's what our Lord cherishes from you. You know, he would just see that as something that's really very precious to him. Does that help at all, Dan?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Thank you.
What part of Chicago you live in?
What part? Look at me in the park. I'm getting confused.
Yeah, what? Because I'm from up on the north side.
On the south side. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
God bless you, Diane.
God bless
you. We appreciate the phone call. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Mark is in Mars Hill, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Mark, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hello, Father. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. What can we do for you?
Yes, Father. I have a question regarding divorce and receiving Eucharist.
Okay.
My divorce went through back in, I think it was 18 or so. Uh-huh. And but after I was divorced, it took me 6.5 years to get a final annulment.
Okay.
In my favor. And I was wondering, I had spoke to some other woman from the church, and she said, you weren't able to receive Eucharist for those 6.5 years. And I said, oh, no, I was.
Yeah.
I just want you to clarify on that. I just can't imagine our Lord, as long as we're trying to... Go ahead.
Here would be the question. Did you remarry?
No.
Okay.
I'm not remarried.
In that case, there is no hindrance at all. If you divorced and remarried without the annulment, then you could not receive communion. But if you're divorced, even before you get an annulment, you are certainly eligible to receive Holy Communion, so long as everybody, like everybody else, you stay in the state of sanctifying grace. But having a divorce is not cause. And I just the other day I was watching the Coming Home program with Tom out in Atlanta.
Catholics Come Home.
Catholics Come Home.
Right.
Yeah, the Catholics Come Home. And the guy that he was being interviewed, wonderful show, by the way, this past week, he was saying that his mother and father divorced when he was a baby, and she never went to communion because she thought she couldn't. He found out later that she could because she never remarried. So that would be your situation as well. So, yeah, there's no problem with that at all. Does that help?
And, you know, of course you can get yes, that does help. Of course, you know, I don't want to give the listeners the wrong idea. You can get remarried. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can get remarried once you get the annulment.
Yes, yes.
And to receive, like with that, I don't want them to think that, you know, you're not allowed to get remarried or then you can't receive Eucharist.
No, yeah. No. If you get an annulment, then you're eligible to be remarried and receive the sacraments because the marriage was null. No. That good. I'm glad you brought that up, too.
Tom Peterson.
Tom Peterson, yeah. Yes.
God bless you, Mark. We appreciate that call. 833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. Still time for your calls at 833-288-3986. Father Mitch, I know you have a deep love for Our Lady, and a deep love for Our Lady is only going to increase our love for her Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. There was an episode several years ago of Women of Grace live on the radio when someone called in one of our evangelical brothers and sisters and informed my wife that Mary was just like any other woman in the Bible. And by the time my wife came up for air, the show was ending as she rattled off everything that was unique about Our Lady. You're going to have a little conversation tonight with Dr. Robert Fasigi about Mariology and the role of Mary in the work of redemption.
Yes.
And on your show tonight.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to it. He's got a lot of good things, a lot of important elements from the Second Vatican Council. We'll be also talking about Chapter 8 of Lumen Gentium, the Constitution of the Church, which is the whole chapter is about Our Lady. A lot of people don't know that. So we want to help inform that and Our Lady's role in the process of salvation.
That's tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa on EWTN Television and Radio. We head next to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Mary is listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Mary, you're on with Father Mitch.
Hello. Hi, Father Mitch.
Hi.
This is Mary, and I am calling with a question about deliverance or binding prayers.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I've been Catholic my whole entire life.
Yeah.
I consider myself a decent Catholic, and this is a prayer book that was written by Father Ripiger. And so my question is, I went to these prayers because I had a family member who was in deep distress with addictions. And so the binding prayer, basically, you know, you bind the spirit of addiction and, mm-hmm. and in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. et cetera. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yes, right.
And I wonder, so when you receive communion and you have the body of Christ, you have Christ in you, I like to say them after communion. So I bring my prayer book with me, and after communion, as the priest is cleaning up the vessel, I say these prayers. And I've been doing this for about 2 years, and have had, I shouldn't say I have had God, but the grace of God, I've seen some healing. But I just wondered if you could speak to, am I theologically correct that, you know, after communion, it's a good time to say these prayers?
Sure.
And I also have another sibling who's struggling with alcoholism terribly, and I've been praying for him, very close family member. Is it possible that you see these prayers working where the person might actually get worse before they get better? I've sort of just been thinking about this myself and just wanted to know.
Oh, well, yeah, you can see that they might get worse. That even happened with our Lord. You know, and the apostles, do you remember in the Gospels that when he came down from the transfiguration, the disciples were having trouble getting, they're having trouble getting a demon out of a boy, and the Lord, and it got worse while they were trying. So there are a couple times that happened to him because, you know, the evil spirit doesn't want to leave. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, they can cling, but we trust in our Savior Jesus, that he, as St. John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 4, the one who is within us is stronger than the one who is in the world, Satan. So that's what I would strongly urge you to cling to. And if they're dealing with alcoholism, you might pray yourself and have them meditate on how when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was offered a mixture of wine and myrrh, which was a painkiller, and he refused it. To look to that moment as the source of strength for these alcoholics to refuse their alcohol, that's what I would recommend. Does that sound all right?
That sounds very good. Yes, thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. Still time for a couple of phone calls at 833-288-3986. Elizabeth's in Cincinnati listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Elizabeth, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Mitch.
Hi, Father.
Hi, what can we do for you?
I just wanted, by the way, I wanted to comment. I also saw that Catholic Come Home program this week, and I was really amazed by that guest story.
Yes.
But I was just wondering, in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus, or it says, you know, can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your
yes.
lifespan? And then I noticed in the footnote that it says that the Greek word, it sounds like it can be the literal translation, the word moment can be translated cubit and lifespan stature. So it could say, can any of you by worrying add a, you know, cubit to your stature? And I was just curious, what would Jesus be, if that was taken like literally like that, why would anyone be worried about adding in, you know, measure to their height? Or do you have any thoughts on that?
Okay. Do you remember what verse that is exactly?
It's Matthew 6:27.
27. Ah, okay. That's what I need to do. I'm going to just take a quick look at the Greek myself, because I don't want to depend on my memory for that, but on the actual text. There we go. So, tiste ex humon merimnon dunestai porthenai api ten helikiano tu pechon henna. Cubit, a cubit is the length of your arm from your fingertip to your elbow. That's the measure. And, you know, I think, the word helikion, can have it has the basic meaning of your maturity, how old you are. And, I don't think that's talking about getting taller. I don't think that that's what he means. But even if it were, it's one of those statements that can go either way. It's idiomatic. And one of the things that, if you worry about it, like I remember as a boy, I certainly wanted to get taller. I couldn't add to my height by saying, oh, I've just got to get taller. That doesn't help. And if you worry about your lifespan, if anything, that will shorten it rather than lengthen it. So neither your height nor the length of time you walk around this earth will be improved by you worrying. Therefore, our Lord is saying, don't worry. That's the main point there. Does that get at what you're asking?
Yeah, that's good. I just want interested if he had there was some other, connotation that...
No, not really.
That I was to get more inside. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Father, and happy birthday this week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Quickly, we'll head to John in the great state of Kentucky. John, you are on with Father Mitch.
Hello, Father Mitch. John Robinson from Covington, Kentucky.
Good to hear from you and to hear from the Commonwealth. What can we do
Very
for you?
Very good. I have a couple of questions. This will probably be my last call.
Yeah, real quick, John, because we're running out of time here.
What is the rule about mixed marriage in religion or race, and what is the rule about... Since the new pope came out, a lot of people are permitting same-sex marriage, and I want to get your opinion.
Okay. First, there is zero ruling about mixed marriage by race. There's nothing... The only question I insist on is that you can't have interracial marriage with somebody from outside the human race. Keep all your marriages inside the human race. The different colors, zero problem. There's no difference. They're the same DNA. So that's one thing. In terms of mixed marriages with religion, you need to go check with your pastor and talk to the pastor about this. And that you have conversations with a future spouse in regard to how you're going to raise children. Settle that before you're married. Not waiting until afterwards. Those kind of questions have to be raised. And that's a good thing to do with a priest helping you on that. And also speak to the minister if they're Christians, or to a rabbi if they're Jewish. It's possible to marry from another religion, but you have to take proper preparation for the usual problems that come with that. You have to have respect for each other's faith while maintaining your own. And then the The other one, what was?
Same-sex marriage.
Oh, same-sex marriage. Das ist streng verboten.
Give me a definite ruling on that.
yeah. That no, there can't be. That's not a marriage. Marriage entails the complementarity of man and woman with the idea of being able to procreate as at least a possibility. That's something that can't happen in same-sex marriage.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
Lord, bless you all and keep you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
On behalf of our host, Father Mitch Packwood, producer Pedro Quiles, our call screener, Ace McKay, and our social media maven, Vanessa Sanchez, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow. Until we get together then, God bless.